Merry Christmas. It is so good to see everybody out this afternoon. And for those at home, we're so glad that you're tuning in at home. It is really, really good to be together and celebrate this Christmas. I was sitting over there as we were singing, and I was thinking, this is bizarre to me, because last Christmas, my family was sick with COVID, and I wasn't even here. I was on the screen, and it was just a little crazy, and it's been a little crazy for everyone, and just being able to look across the room and seeing so many people here to celebrate, it's a really good feeling to see it. So happy you're with us. If you're a guest with us this afternoon, and if you don't have a church home, I just want you to know that our doors are always open to you. You are always welcome to be here. We're going to be doing a kind of a combination worship on the 26th, kind of family style with a lot of Christmas songs. And if you're looking for something new, I know that 2020, 2021 have been kind of difficult. Well, we're looking for something new in 22. So we're starting a new series the week after that, the first Sunday of January, called New in 22. Just so you know, you are invited, and you're always, always welcome here. It's a great afternoon to be together. This is one of my favorite times of the year, not just Christmas, but in particular, Christmas Eve, in this service, in this worship experience where we come together. Because, you know, the rest of December, we're thinking about Christmas, but let's be real here, the rest of December can be pretty distracting. And it can pull our attention away from what it's really all about. And next thing you know, you're looking at your calendar and you're like, Christmas is this week. And it feels like you've not even experienced it. But when you come together in a worship experience on Christmas Eve, it's like all the rest of that at least stops, right? For the hour or so that we're together, and we really focus in on singing the songs Away in the Manger and Silent Night, and we really focus in on what it's about to know the true reason of the season. You've heard that before, but to talk about Jesus. We've been in a message series here on Sunday mornings at Old Fort Church where we've called it Emmanuel, when God with us becomes God in us. Because that's the point, isn't it? For those who believe in Jesus, that's the point. Jesus came to be God with us, but even so more so, he came to be God in us. We have Jesus in us, and when Jesus lives in you, then it gives you all kinds of benefits that come with that. One of them is one that's very much needed right now. It's this: when God with us becomes God in us, here's the benefit: peace comes. Peace comes. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about this afternoon. Before we do, I want to read to you the Christmas story. Now, when I say the Christmas story, I'm not talking about the night before Christmas. We were watching one of those Hallmark Christmas movies one time, and they said, we're going to sit down now and read the Christmas story. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're going to read the Christmas story? And they start reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. That's not the Christmas story. I'm not talking about a Christmas story that you're going to see on TBS and TNT starting tonight, all day tomorrow through the day. I'm talking about the account, the Christmas story. And we're going to look at it today. There are portions of that story that we've been talking about all month. We're going to read the whole story, and you can find the account of Jesus' birth in both Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke each carry different portions of the story, and when you put them both together and include those writings together, you get the fuller story of what happened. So I'm going to read the event from both books tonight, kind of in a chronological order of the events of how they would happen. I haven't done this for a while. Usually we pull out that one portion from Luke that Linus reads on Charlie Brown. We're going to read the whole thing as we get started today. So what I want you to do is, you can follow on the screen if you would like, but hear it. Listen to it like you haven't heard it before. Let's read together. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you, greetings you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and pondered wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." When Elizabeth, your relative, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary home as his wife. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what he had told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there you have it, friends. The account of Emmanuel. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that story, when I hear that story read, I just feel a sense of peace. I mean, yes, there's grumblings going on. There's unrest. Herod and Israel, they're uncertain about this birth. It's a bit of a chaotic scene going on probably when Jesus is being born. And the angels, they're making a lot of noise as they're praising in their praise concert that they're having. But still, as the baby Jesus is born, there's just this rest of peace. I mean, would you agree? Can you feel it when you hear the story? Today, it's really rare to find people who at least have a real sense of peace. I talk to, I witness people all the time who just don't seem to have a real peace. Most people are very active, they're busy, they're stressed, they're tired with everything else that's going on. But I meet with very few who seem to walk in a really true peace, really at peace with themselves, at peace with the world, at peace with God. It seems like it's just this rare quality. And yet, it's one of the reasons we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came to give peace to all who would receive him. Over 700 years before the very first Christmas, before Jesus was born, that would be about 2,721 years from now is what that would be. Isaiah, who was a prophet of God, announced that a savior of the world was going to come and that he would be called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 tells us this. It says, for to us a child is born, to us is given, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah is talking about Jesus 700 years before he's even born. And of course, at the very first Christmas, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, what did we just read that they proclaimed in Luke 2:14? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So Isaiah announces this way before Jesus is ever born. Then the angels declare it about him the night that Jesus is born. And get this, after Jesus dies and he raises from the dead, before he goes back to heaven to be with his Father, listen to what he says in John 14:27. He says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Apparently, peace is a pretty important topic of God. And it's a pretty important reason for Christmas, for Emmanuel, God with us, who becomes God in us. And I bet that there's not a person in this room who wouldn't agree with the fact that peace is a pretty important need for our world today. I mean, can I get an amen on that from anyone? Right? The world's went and just got off crazy, hasn't it? It's just went and gone crazy. We all need some peace, and Jesus tells us that he came to give us a peace that we can only get through him. You can't get it from the world or anyone or anything else in the world. The peace this world gives is phony and it's fragile. It just doesn't last. It never lasts. How many peace treaties in history have been broken? Practically every one of them. So this Christmas Eve, I want to talk a little bit about the kind of peace that the Prince of Peace that Jesus gives us. Then I want to talk about how we get it. Jesus came to give us peace in three places. First of all, he came to give us peace with God. Peace with God. Peace with God has another name. It's called spiritual peace. And it's the most important peace that you can have because it impacts everything else every other area of your life. We all know that when we have a relationship that's just out of whack, when there's a tension between a husband and a wife, or two siblings, or a parent and a child, or two best friends, or any other important relationships, nothing else seems to matter, right? When there's that tension, it just doesn't seem to matter. When you have a strain or a conflict in a relationship, it really robs you of your peace, and it robs you of joy, and it impacts other relationships that you have, doesn't it? There can perhaps be no harder time to realize strained relationships than at Christmas time. When relationships are strained at Christmas time, it can make things brutal, can it? Well, friends, nothing causes greater strain in your life and impacts your other relationships more than being out of whack with God. And the problem is that without Jesus, every one of us are out of whack with God. The Bible says that the first thing Jesus came to do is to restore peace between us and him, us and God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ." Brought us back to himself. God's Christmas gift to us is bringing us to Jesus so that we can have peace restored with himself. I mean, how beautiful is that? Why do we need this? I'll tell you why. Because every time I ignore God's way for my life and I go my way, I'm trying to take his spot, God's spot in my life. I'm trying to be the God of my own life. I think I know better than God, and I'm ignoring his rules and making up my own, and I'm choosing to not do what the Bible says I'm to do. When I try to play God in my own life, I'm disobeying him. And that leaves me disconnected to him. And then God feels like he's a million miles away from me. Have you ever heard the phrase that some people may say to you? You want to invite them to church, and they say, "If I step into the church, the roof will come down." You ever hear anybody say that? Maybe some people felt like that coming in today. They were watching the roof just in case. They weren't sure, you know? Do you know what they're really doing? What they're really communicating? They're acknowledging that they're really far from God right now. And that they don't really have peace with God right now. They're also buying an ungodly belief that God's just waiting to thump them or something if they show up. But hear me, that is so wrong. Instead, it says right here that God's gift for them is peace, bringing them back to himself. God doesn't want you disconnected from him. He loves you. The whole Bible is about him going to every possible measure that he can to restore peace with you, to restore a relationship with you. He made you to be connected to him. And here's what the Bible says in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us." Notice here that it says what Jesus has done for us. This isn't something that we can do ourselves. Peace with God can't come from what you or what I do. We're just too broken. Peace with God comes from what Jesus Christ has already done for us on the cross. You or me trying to be nice or trying to be good or trying to be moral, it just doesn't get us peace with God. Peace with God is only through Jesus, and that's what Christmas is all about. Listen to what Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11 say. "For since our friendship, our peace with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." That, friends, is what the peace of Christmas is all about. It also leads us to a second kind of peace. Here's the second kind of peace. It's a peace within. Peace within. This kind of peace is an emotional peace. The Bible talks about it as having peace, the peace of God. The peace of God. Once I have peace with God, I get the peace of God. Do you have peace within tonight, this afternoon? I mean, do you have that deep down soul peace? Do you have that? It's meant to be the gift of Christmas. It's part of the reason Jesus came. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." And be thankful. The word peace in the Bible is a Hebrew word, the word shalom. Maybe you've heard the word shalom before. Shalom means more than just ending hostilities. It means well-being. It means happiness. It means harmony. It means serenity. It means a lot of different things. Do you have those things going on in your heart? Listen, there's a peace for every one of your problems. For every one of your problems. For those who, with a broken heart, God gives a comforting peace. For those with a confused heart, God gives a guiding peace. For those who feel shame in your heart, God gives forgiving peace. When you have a worried heart, he gives confident peace. I don't have time to go into all the kinds of peace that God gives, but there's literally hundreds of kinds of peace that God offers to you and to me when you have peace with God. He brings you peace within, and you have the peace of God. Third kind of peace is this, peace with others. There's a peace with God, peace with myself, and third, a peace with others. This is relational peace. And here's the fact. The truth, the further we get away from God, the more it messes up our relationships with everybody else, right? It does. This is what we're witnessing in our world all around us today. People are moving further and further and further away from God, and it's leading to all kinds of unrest among people and with one another within our whole world. We have proof of this. And we face it every single day just by looking at the headlines of the news, right? You can see it in the headlines of the news. So here's what we can do from, what we can learn from the Christmas gift of peace. Do you want to strengthen your marriage? Then get closer to God. Because if you're growing closer to God and your spouse is growing closer to God, then it automatically grows you closer together. If you're growing closer to God and he or she's growing closer to God, you come closer together. Do you want to grow closer to a sibling or a parent, a child, a friend? Then draw closer to God. The more out of whack you are with God, the more out of whack you're going to be with other people. The further away I get from God, the crankier I become with you. And that goes to reason, doesn't it? God's the author of peace, so how can you have peace without God? If you move farther from God, you'll have less peace. Listen to God's word when it tells us about peace among others in Galatians 3:26 through 28. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." God's calling us, all kinds of us together. And we can only come together through the peace that we find in Jesus. When you have peace, the peace with God, and you have inner peace of God, you can make peace with others. Jesus is the only answer for peace in your life. And he's the only answer for any peace that we're ever going to have in this world. We've talked about the peace of God, the peace that Christmas is. Now let's talk just a moment about how we get that peace. How do you receive this gift? The Bible says three things. First, I must experience a moment of clarity. A moment of clarity. A moment of clarity is a life-changing understanding that transforms you forever. Where you're never the same again. You begin to see things in life in a brand new way. You begin to see God as he is, not necessarily as maybe you were brought up to believe or you thought to believe. You begin to see who he really is, and you begin to see yourself as you really are, not just as others have told you you are or what you have thought about yourself and who you are. It begins as a moment of clarity when you say, "I get it. I get God, and I'm beginning to get me." You also begin to see your problems, your troubles, your battles with more clarity. You see your past more clearly, your present more clearly, and your future more clearly. In the very first Christmas, everyone had a moment of clarity. Joseph had a moment of clarity in a dream. He had a dream, and all of a sudden, he got it. He knew what was going on. He understood what happened. It all made sense. God may use a dream to give you a moment of clarity. The wise men had a moment of clarity in an obscurity of nature. They're out looking at the stars, and there's a moment of clarity right there in their camp. You don't have to go to church to get to God. God speaks to a lot of people right out in creation. He made it, and he can speak through it. Mary had a moment of clarity when she understood the word of God that was being spoken to her. God's word gives moments of clarity to people all the time. There are some prisoners sitting in a prison, and all of a sudden they get a Bible maybe given to them by a Gideon. Gideons distribute Bibles to prisons and places, and all they have is this Bible, and the Holy Spirit works through it, and they begin to read it, and a moment of clarity comes to them right there in their cell, as they begin to understand who God is for them. Here's how Paul describes this moment of clarity in Ephesians 1:18. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Friends, this has been my prayer for you for this afternoon. For anyone who's here, anyone who's watching at home, who's not yet come to that moment of clarity themselves. Until that happens, you're not going to have peace in your life. Not a lasting, sustaining peace. God says this to a people who were rejecting him and missing their moment of clarity in Isaiah 48:18. He says, oh, that you had listened to my commands. Then you would have peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over like waves in the sea. But they miss the moment of clarity, and they miss the peace that he's presenting. Are you looking for that kind of peace? It begins in a moment of clarity, and understanding of your need, of your inability to gain this peace on your own or any other way. It's a moment of clarity that says Christmas is about Jesus, and he's my answer to my hopeless state. The second thing I must do to get this peace is I must express an attitude of humility. God blesses humility. And here's what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6. And he gives grace generously, as scripture says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That means that every time I'm prideful, I'm on the opposite side of God. God actually opposes the proud. He opposes them. So here's the exchange. I exchange my vanity for his serenity. I humble myself and I get his peace. I exchange my anxiety for his tranquility. That's what happens. In a heart of humility, I tell God, I need help. As humbly as I can come before you, God, I need your help. Isaiah 26:12 says, Lord, you will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from you. When was the last time you said that to God? I mean, have you ever said that to God? Have you ever, in a flat-out moment of humility, said to God, God, I just want to admit everything I am and everything I have is because of you. I wouldn't be taking the next breath if it weren't for you. There wouldn't be blood coursing through my veins. My heart wouldn't be pumping. It wouldn't be beating, God, if it wasn't for you. The only reason that you're sitting in a seat right now is because God made you to love you and for you to love him back. That's why Jesus came, and we need to humble ourselves in that reality. And finally, after experiencing a moment of clarity, expressing an attitude of humility, I must simply come to Jesus. I must come to Jesus. Let me sum it up, all that I'm trying to say. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to give peace on earth and God and goodwill to humankind. He said, I'm going to give you a gift of peace, not as the world gives, but only as I can give. And he summarizes the gift of peace in a single verse. If you get this verse and you surrender yourself to Jesus, your stress level is going to go way, way down, and your peace level is going to go way, way up. Here's what it is. These verses in Matthew 11:28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light." If you've not yet come to Jesus, and you're finding peace eluding you in this world, understand that he came so that you might have peace with God, peace with yourselves, and peace with others. So come to him with your weary and your burdened soul and experience his rest. Take his lifestyle onto your lifestyle. Receive his gentle and humble heart within you and find true rest, the rest you've been looking for your soul. He wants to lighten your load and give you rest. So come to Jesus. Because when Emmanuel, God with us, becomes God in us, peace comes. Peace comes. Let's pray together. Lord God, I know there are too many people in this room and others watching at home, too many in the number here right now to know that there aren't some people who are feeling their peace disturbed today. I see the headlines in the news. I talk to people every day. I see people out in our world. I see what's happening in our government and in places around our society. I see all the unrest. There's no way with this many people in this room that there aren't some of us that are saying, "I'm missing that peace." Now, God, I also sense that there are probably some that are missing that peace that are also saying, "But I don't know about this God stuff. Let me go home and get some eggnog and open some presents. I don't know about the Jesus part of Christmas." But God, I also know peace won't come, lasting true peace won't come or stay without the Jesus of Christmas and the Jesus at Easter who died and rose for us. And so, friends, if you're in this room and you need that peace of Jesus and you've not embraced him, if you're watching at home and you're starving for a peace that's not there, how about coming to a moment of clarity right now? How about humbling yourself in this moment? How about coming to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, forgive me for my sins and all that I've done wrong. Come into my heart with your peace to live there and change my life forever. That I know what the real Christmas is about. Emmanuel, God with us, becoming God in me. Bring his peace." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to sit and listen to this beautiful song and allow the peace of Jesus just to kind of fill over you as we hear it sung. And after that, we'll be lighting candles to sing Silent Night together. If you didn't grab a candle coming in, you might just slip out silently and grab those for your family and come back in so we can do that together. Let his peace wash over you in this O Holy Night. As you look around and notice all the candles burning, I want you to take note of a couple things. One, how easy it was to pass the flame to the next person. Second, how it warmed things up in the room a little bit as the fire was lit. May we know the God of peace, to have peace with ourselves, that we can bring the peace of God to others as simply as passing the warmth of the flame to the next person, and to the next person, and to the next person. When these lights all go out, the room gets dark again. And when we go back into the world is still dark because they still need Jesus. He has come to to be God with us, to be God in us, so we can bring God to others. Go in the peace and the love of Jesus who loves you. As you leave, as you blow out your candles and leave in a moment, just stick those in baskets. There's some at the door, or as you came in, those baskets are mine as you leave. And have a blessed Christmas. Merry Christmas. We love you.